Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important topics on the specification, the water cycle and water insecurity. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel or OCR, this topic comes up every single year and examiners absolutely love it. So let's make sure you're completely ready. Let's start with the big picture. The global hydrological cycle, and this is crucial, is a closed system. Write that down, closed system. That means no water enters or leaves the Earth as a whole. The total amount of water on our planet stays the same. It just moves between different stores. The energy driving this whole system comes from two sources: solar energy, which drives evaporation and transpiration, and gravitational energy, which pulls water downhill as precipitation and surface runoff. Now, let's talk about those water stores, because examiners love asking you to compare them. The oceans hold a staggering 97.5% of all water on Earth, but it's salt water, so we can't drink it directly. The cryosphere, that's ice caps, glaciers, and permafrost, holds about 1.75%. Groundwater accounts for around 0.76%. And then surface water, rivers, lakes, is just 0.01%. The atmosphere holds a tiny 0.001%, and the biosphere even less. But here's the key exam point: residence time. Water in the ocean stays there for around 3,000 years on average. Groundwater can be locked away for up to 10,000 years. But water in the atmosphere? Just 9 days. Rivers? Only 2 to 6 months. This is why disrupting groundwater stores through over-abstraction is so serious. Once it's gone, it takes millennia to replenish. Now, here's where many candidates lose marks. The drainage basin is not the same as the global hydrological cycle. The drainage basin is an open system. Water and energy can both enter and leave. The input is precipitation. The outputs are evapotranspiration, water lost back to the atmosphere, and river discharge, where water flows out of the basin to the sea. Within the basin, water moves through a series of stores and flows. Starting from the top, precipitation falls and is intercepted by vegetation. This is the interception store. Water then moves by stem flow down plant stems or throughfall dripping through leaves. It reaches the surface store and can then infiltrate into the soil water store. From there, it either moves laterally as throughflow or percolates deeper into the groundwater store, moving slowly as groundwater flow. Alternatively, if the ground is saturated or impermeable, water moves quickly across the surface as overland flow, also called surface runoff. This is the fastest pathway to the river channel, and it's why urban areas flood so quickly. Physical factors control how water moves through a drainage basin. Climate is the most fundamental. The amount, intensity, and type of precipitation determines how much water enters the system. Soils matter too. Sandy soils have high infiltration rates, so water soaks in quickly, reducing surface runoff. Clay soils have low infiltration rates. Water can't get in fast, so overland flow increases. Vegetation is a natural sponge. Forests intercept huge amounts of rainfall, and their roots hold soil together, slowing runoff. Geology is critical. Permeable rocks like chalk and limestone allow water to percolate through, feeding groundwater stores. Impermeable rocks like granite force water to flow over the surface. And relief, the steepness of slopes, affects how fast water moves. Steep slopes mean fast runoff, gentle slopes allow more infiltration.
Now let's talk about how humans disrupt this natural system, and this is a favourite exam theme. Deforestation is perhaps the most dramatic example. When trees are removed, interception is lost, infiltration decreases because roots no longer bind the soil, and surface runoff increases dramatically. The River Amazon Basin provides a perfect case study here. large-scale deforestation in Brazil has measurably increased surface runoff and reduced the amount of water recycled back to the atmosphere through transpiration. Urbanization is equally important. When we replace natural surfaces with tarmac, concrete, and rooftops, we create impermeable surfaces. Water can no longer infiltrate. Instead, it rushes into drains and rivers extremely quickly. This is why flash flooding is so common in cities. Reservoirs and dams alter the natural flow regime of rivers. They store water and release it in controlled amounts, fundamentally changing the river's discharge pattern. And over-abstraction, pumping groundwater faster than it can be replenished, is depleting aquifers worldwide. The Ogallala Aquifer in the USA, which supplies water to 8 states, is being drawn down at a rate 10 times faster than it is being recharged. Let's move on to water budgets. A water budget shows the annual balance between precipitation coming in and potential evapotranspiration going out. The formula is simple. Precipitation minus evapotranspiration equals the change in soil moisture storage. When precipitation exceeds evapotranspiration, we have a soil moisture surplus. The ground is wet, rivers are full, and groundwater recharges. When evapotranspiration exceeds precipitation, we have a soil moisture deficit. The ground dries out, soil moisture is used up, and eventually we get drought conditions. In the UK, we typically see a surplus in winter, when temperatures are low and evapotranspiration is minimal, and a deficit in summer, when temperatures are high and plants are actively transpiring. A river regime shows how a river's discharge varies throughout the year. Different rivers have very different regimes. The River Yukon in Alaska shows a dramatic spring snowmelt peak. Discharge can increase tenfold in just a few weeks. The River Amazon shows a more complex double-peaked regime, reflecting the seasonal migration of the intertropical convergence zone. The River Indus in Pakistan is heavily influenced by Himalayan snowmelt and monsoon rainfall, creating a summer peak that is critical for agriculture across the region. Examiners expect you to name specific rivers and explain why their regimes look the way they do. Finally, let's nail the storm hydrograph. This is a graph showing how a river's discharge responds to a single rainfall event. The key features are the rising limb, the steep upward slope as water reaches the channel, the peak discharge, the highest point, the falling limb or recession limb, the gradual decrease back to normal, the lag time, the gap between peak rainfall and peak discharge, and the base flow, the normal background level fed by groundwater. A flashy hydrograph has a short lag time and high peak discharge. Water reaches the river very quickly. Factors that create a flashy hydrograph include impermeable rock or clay soils, steep slopes, sparse vegetation, urban land use, a small circular drainage basin, and high-intensity rainfall. A subdued hydrograph has a longer lag time and lower peak discharge. This is associated with permeable geology, gentle slopes, dense vegetation, rural land use, and a large elongated basin. Examiners will give you a hydrograph and ask you to explain its shape. Always link the physical features of the catchment to the specific characteristics of the graph.
Now let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. Common mistake number one, confusing the global hydrological cycle with the drainage basin. The global cycle is closed. No water enters or leaves Earth. The drainage basin is open. Water enters as precipitation and leaves as evapotranspiration and river discharge. If an exam question asks you to describe the global hydrological cycle, do not start talking about drainage basin processes. Examiners will not award marks for this confusion. Common mistake number two, using the terms river regime and storm hydrograph interchangeably. A river regime shows annual discharge variation across a whole year. A storm hydrograph shows the response to a single storm event, typically over hours or days. They are completely different things. Common mistake number three, vague answers about human impact. Don't just say deforestation increases flooding. Say deforestation removes the interception store, reducing the time water takes to reach the channel. This shortens the lag time and increases peak discharge, raising flood risk. That's the kind of specific, mechanistic explanation that earns level 3 marks. For describe questions, worth 2 to 4 marks, give 2 or 3 developed points. Use data from graphs where provided. For explain questions, worth 4 to 6 marks, use connective language. This means that, as a result, therefore. For extended writing, 8 marks or more, structure your answer with clear paragraphs, use named examples, and always reach a conclusion. Command words to watch. Describe means state what you can see. Explain means give reasons why. Assess or evaluate means weigh up evidence and reach a judgment. Compare means identify similarities and differences, not just one. Time for a quickfire recall quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these before I give you the answers. Question 1. Is the global hydrological cycle an open or closed system? Closed system. No water enters or leaves Earth. Question 2. What percentage of Earth's water is held in the oceans? 97.5%. Question 3. What is the term for the gap between peak rainfall and peak discharge on a storm hydrograph? Lag time. Question 4. Name one physical factor that would create a flashy hydrograph. Any of impermeable rock, clay soils, steep slopes, sparse vegetation, small circular basin, or urban land use. Question 5. What is the formula for a water budget? Precipitation minus evapotranspiration equals change in soil moisture storage. Question 6. Name one river and describe its regime. For example, the River Yukon shows a spring snowmelt peak as winter snow melts rapidly. How did you do? If you got all 6, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. To summarise today's key points, the global hydrological cycle is a closed system driven by solar and gravitational energy. The drainage basin is an open system with inputs, stores, flows and outputs. Physical and human factors both influence how water moves through a basin. Water budgets show the annual balance between precipitation and evapotranspiration. River regimes show annual discharge patterns. Storm hydrographs show short-term response to rainfall events. And water insecurity is a growing global challenge requiring careful management. Thank you so much for listening. Keep revising, stay curious, and good luck in your exams. You've got this.